about a publication that has just really came out over the last month, but it's been an ongoing effort from our USDA climate hubs, especially the Northern Forest, as well as the Northeast Climate Hub and the Midwest Climate Hub. So this is a regional product that could be tailored to other regions as well, but this is, talk about somewhat of the beginnings of this. Dan Dotsey, who's the State Resource Conservation in Pennsylvania, this was his presentation, and he was unable to be with us today. Dan has served as a liaison from NRCS to the Northeast Climate Hub over this past year, and he's been working with several of us, as well as NIACS, which is the Northern Institute of Applied Climate Science with the U.S. Forest Service. And so this is a publication which is really reaching out in terms of training others or working with farmers and ranchers on applications towards adaptation. So the presentation is looking at three things, but just some regional adaptation resources. He's got responses here, just some general products that have been produced recently, and then really targeting a fair amount of time on this adaptation workbook and some of the examples that they have on that. About, I think, 2012, the Forest Service put out this Forest Adaptation Responses Workbook. And this is a step-by-step plan where you take a group of landowners or land managers, in their case, in the northern part of the United States in forested regions. So these are forested landowners, bringing it in and have them sit down and start focusing on their particular piece of land and basically, you know, what are their research or what are their production goals? Where are they going into the future? And from that, then start thinking about the impacts of climate change that are occurring on that piece of property, and then not dictating to them what maybe management tweaks or changes they might do, but lead them through a sort of a step-by-step process to have them consider, well, what things could you consider if climate change is going to take an impact on that particular piece of land? And so they've done about 100 or so demonstration projects on this. So it's really, I'd say, proven technology that really works in terms of reaching out to landowners, working with those. A large number of these projects, you know, they're still ongoing. Obviously, we don't know the impacts of implementing any management plans for, you know, climate change for many years to come, especially in a forested land area. So, you know, they're tracking some of this over time. Well, in the last couple of years, the plan was then to take this forest adaptation resource and then create one specifically for agriculture. And that's what we've done over the last couple of years. And Maria Joviak from the Forest Service up in Houghton, Michigan, as well as Dan Dotsey, are the two people that really have driven it over the top and brought it to completion. They wanted me to point out that also there is an online adaptation workbook, so somebody can go right to the website instead of taking this, you know, workbook or setting it into a small classroom setting or training session, could do it online. It's a step-by-step process and, you know, brings you through this. It's available on the forestry version only right now, but it says the urban and agriculture versions are coming in 2017. So there has been some funding moving in that direction. Now the rest of the talk is specifically about this new resource. It's adaptations for agriculture. It is directed mostly towards the Midwest and Northeast states, though we have a climate hub liaison down in the Southeast that's working on a version of this specifically for the southeast part of the United States. I had an individual over in Guam, one of our USDA employees over there, hearing about this, thought, you know, here's something for the Pacific Island areas that we could maybe use and build a specific resource for that. So it's really adaptable to other groups as well. It says it doesn't recommend policy. It's really not driving a producer to accept certain things. You're not dictating them what to do. You're bringing them into the process, educating them, and getting them to think about stuff. And it really doesn't address all sorts of risks. One thing is, you know, it doesn't talk about crop insurance, marketing plans, you know, or human resources. You know, can you find enough help to harvest your crops or anything like that? It's really targeting existing processes and practices. So the book itself is arranged into five chapters. The first one is looking at the regional climate change effects. So this was really taking somebody in those regions and saying, based on vulnerability assessments, the National Climate Assessment, how is climate change going to basically change in that area? What impacts, either extreme weather or whatever, that might be taking place? The other one is just some sort of the background on what adaptation concepts are. What does it mean? What are we trying and striving for? So it's a background in terms of that. The third chapter, and we'll talk more about that, is what are some of these adaptation responses that are appropriate for the Northeast as well as the Midwest regions? And then the fourth part is actually going through the workbook and then the workbook examples. So the menu of responses is basically arranged in terms of strategies and approaches and on down to tactics. So the strategies are basically the overall umbrella. There's about 8 or 10 of these, and you can see just fundamental functions of soil and water. And you can read some of the various other ones. So those are all the overall umbrella considerations and what somebody might be thinking about. In fact, is they might not even realize some of their thoughts or their conservation plans that they might want to impose on their system related to climate change are put into that. But really what it tries to do is educate a person in terms of their response, their actions, and make them better understand sort of the overall impact of all of this. Now, so what it does is drive a rationale into a specific action. Because they say two broad options here, and this one could be that the producer is looking at their own particular production system and trying to just persist with the same, crop production practices that they have ongoing at that particular time. Or they may realize that they may need to transform, maybe going from a row crop system into pasture lands or something like that. So those are the two broad options. But within that, there's various strategies that you can address, approaches to get to those strategies, and then tactics. So the tactics are the boots on the ground, things that somebody might consider in terms of doing this. All of these driven by whatever the motives are of that individual producer. So the workbook goes through 5 basic steps. The one is, where are you and what do you care about? It really says, okay, what's your piece of land? What parcel is it? How many acres? What's the landscape like? What are your water conditions? What's your ecosystem? Think about that. And then start looking at the vulnerability to climate change that exists. So what are the impacts of climate change in your area? How you might consider, how are they going to impact your property and your system and your goals that you might be trying to achieve? And the third one is, when you start looking at climate change in your area, what challenges or opportunities might that present to you? So it really draws this person in to start thinking about the impacts of climate change and, not only the first few years, but over the period of time, and then really see, what changes might be necessary. And that's where step 4 comes into action. What things might you want to consider? How might you want to make changes to your production system in order to address some of these things that might be impacted by climate change? And the fourth one is, we can go to a workshop and over a course of 4 or 5 hours develop a new plan for you. You could go home, but you got to really track that. So what sort of data might you look at in your production system? What might you measure and really see if the stuff that you're trying to institute is actually having an impact over the next few years? If it is, great. Maybe you'll make some other changes. If it's not, then you kind of go back down through the cycle and see, well, that's really not working. What other considerations do I need to make? So it's a long-term plan that keeps getting revisited over time. And one thing to make a point is that climate change is just one of many considerations that a producer has to take in terms of their particular piece of land or their decisions on what they're going to grow, how they're going to harvest, what cover crops they might want to have, or any considerations like that. And so we're looking at maybe not some wholesale change because of climate change, but, maybe it fits right into some of the things they're already thinking about, or it might be small tweaks to that particular system. Keep in mind also that based on the type of production system it has, producers have planning horizons. This is one, a corn growers decision calendar developed out of Iowa State. You can't really read it, but it goes from 1 to 5 years. And within that first year, there's certain decisions that have to be made. on up to about a 5-year basis, you know, what's going on? Well, you know, maybe, you know, a row crop producer would think of, in terms of 5 to 20 year time horizons in terms of some of the decisions. If you're in a forested land area, you're a forest landowner, you're probably thinking about 20 to 50 to 80 year time horizons. So it all changes in terms of what your plans are. And also, you know, the site conditions really, impact, the impact of what you're trying to do with climate change or the considerations that you have with growing crops. So they're really trying to say, focus on your lands, know your soils, and then think about the changes that might impact your decisions. The workbook has 4 examples within that. The main one that's been documented here is from southeast Nebraska. It's a corn, soybean, wheat rotation in the southeast part of the state. There's another one, a grazing situation in Missouri, where it's just a livestock grazing operation. There's an Iowa corn, soybean rotation as well. And then there's a dairy in Pennsylvania that's documented that they went through these step-by-step processes to show somebody how this workbook might work. And one thing to point out is this works on an individual farm project, but it could be applied at an area-wide basis as well. One thing to keep in mind, this is not only to take in a group of producers to maybe help them understand things, but I could see this as a good tool that we could use for NRCS employees that, okay, how do we start thinking about climate change and how do we talk to farmers about it and how do we draw in some of the climate change impacts that might be occurring and start thinking about that. When we start talking about communication, it's really important really to have a way to do that. And so we could say it could work for our NRCS employees, it could work for extension agents, anybody that's really trying to work with farmers and ranchers, as well as looking at and talking with farmers and ranchers themselves. So with that, I'll entertain any questions, and I hope this workbook's online. It's not available in hard copy yet. I think I'm supposed to get one here in the next week or so, but it is available online, and you can print your own version now. So any questions, I'll be happy to entertain them. I would say that the whole point is that, you would be working with the farmer on that. So, and once the online version comes out, it's for them to set in their own home and work through it. But, I think by using the examples, and kind of understanding the process of stuff, that I think a farmer could easily do it. So I went through one workshop up in Wisconsin, and we had a couple of producers in that, but of course there were some extension people and university professors. It seemed to work quite well. And the forest version was really developed with that in mind, working with the landowner and helping them through step by step process and things.
Is there any incentive for producers to go through this workbook? Are they tied to
grants? There's no real incentive. This is, trying to help them stay alive and maybe maximize their productivities, but, this is not a government dictatorial thing. It's a tool to help them understand. So if they're concerned with, increasing, heavy rainfall events or increasing drought conditions or whatever, the rise in temperature, they've talked about the, growing degree days increasing over time. And they were concerned about this. This gives them a tool to start thinking about maybe implicating in some of those changes. But no, there's nothing tied in. There's not making them do it or anything like that. It's just it's a tool to help them understand. You mean tell them about the existence of the workbook?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, somehow we need to get the word out, and it just now got
and
produced.
We have a supplemental to that form.
Okay.
So
good plan. Yeah. I think we need a way that, you know, sometimes you have tools like this, and I've seen an agglomeration of 300 that the climate hubs have assembled, and, you know, what happens to all these things? But if you have something good, you got to get in people's hands. So, yeah, thanks for the suggestion. So, Tanya? Yeah, you know, they through NIACS, they have a website, and they published a number of papers, and some of those are their actual demonstrations, or their where the forest landowners are using them. And some of the projects are more near completion than others. Some they've just instituted over the last year or two, so they're not very far along. But they do have a number of publications that are available. Yeah, I can get you the website and stuff. Yeah, you know, and they
found a better way to deal with climate change, how to talk about it and how to get buy-in.
You know, something I read one time says, you have to, sometimes repeat the same message over and over, and I do believe that, we have a responsibility to inform the public that, if the facts are there, then climate is changing and there's going to be impacts in the future, and then, we have the responsibility to carry that message forward. Yeah, I understand, and they've shown that the producers aren't interested in believing that a lot of this climate change is man-made. But when you look at the data, it seems to be overwhelming. That it's almost scary. The more you think about it. But that's a giant hurdle, and I think we have to keep the conversation going. And Chris Swanson with the Forest Service, he's the leader of NIACS. That was sort of the big discussion through the climate hubs. And when we go to talk to farmers, you don't talk about climate change. You talk about extreme weather and stuff.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, I'm tired of it. We can also make the government a safe zone, because there's people out there that do believe it, but they're afraid that, their farmer and rancher friends are going to ridicule them. So they're kind of, they're going to be quiet. But, let's create a safe zone in these meetings where, hey, this is the word. This is what it is. And then maybe we can draw these people in, but we don't just keep covering it up and, sugarcoating it, because we don't want to upset everybody. But, and I kind of have bought into that. It's like, maybe, he's right that, stuff relevant to them, things like increasing sea level rise or CO2 concentrations in the ocean are okay, but what does it do to a farmer and rancher in North Dakota? And yeah, so you have to have relevant information to them, and that's true, and that's part of, I'm sure, through the talks we listened to this afternoon and others, that's the data that we're trying to gather right now to really show people that there's changes that need to be made, and draw them into the conversation. That's a good point.
All right. Well, maybe we'll just continue the conversation all together.
Okay.
People want to go, so go ahead. Well, thank you all for coming, and thank you to our speakers.